Good morning. Last week, we finished the topic of the Seder Akadima, the priority in giving tzedakah, who the hierarchy, who to give the money first to. As we explained, that kroivim come first you take care of your relatives, then come aniyei yercha, aniyei people who need in your city, aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and finally, the rest of the aniyei. As we pointed out, many poskim write that the Hilchos Kedima is priority. Who you give to first, who you give the bulk of your tzedakah to. However, as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, it is not mistavra that an ani who is in a poor city or does not have wealthy relatives should die of hunger. And therefore many poskim write that the Kedima means you take half of your money, you give it to the Kroivim. And you take, I guess, of what's left, you take half of it and give it to Aniyei Yercha. But it does not mean that you do not give anything to people from who have a lower kedima. It's just a priority, but you do have to spread your money around. Now, besides the hierarchy of kedima, of relatives, Aniyei Yercha, and then Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, there are another few rules. One rule is Tov Koidim. That you prioritize your tzedakah where it's needed the most. And therefore, based on that, if you have aniyim in your city who are, you know, doing fine, they have food, they have shelter, but they're just lacking their day machzorei, and you have aniyim in another city who there was a hurricane and now they're homeless, they have nothing left. So they are the tov koidim. You give to the greater need, you ignore the kedima of aniyei yercha, and you give to where it's needed most. Now, this certainly applies with aniyei yercha, that if you have aniyim from another city that have a greater need, they come before aniyei yercha. When it comes to relatives, there the Hafla says that this rule does not apply. Relatives have kedima even if there is a greater need elsewhere. There is a machlokes achrayim how to understand this. The simple reading of the Hafla and the way the Shevet Alevi learns means it means only your children. Your children, your Bnei Bayis, they have Kedima, they come first. Even though their needs are less, you give tzedakah to them, but anybody after that, any other relatives, or Aniyei Yercha, you give to the greater need first. Most Achroinim extend it a bit more, and they say really any Karov, any relative, there the rule of Tov Koidim doesn't apply. You take care of your Kroivim first, and then you give to other people. Now, based on the other Achroinim that we mentioned, that Kedima just means you give half of your money to relatives. What would come out is, if you have relatives who are Aniyim, you have other Aniyim who have a greater need, but they are not Kroivim. So the Kedima of Kurva applies. You do not say Tov Koidim. But the Kedima is still limited, like we mentioned before. And therefore, you give half of the money to your relatives, and then the other half you can give to the other aniyim that even have a greater need. The Ruchaim Kanievsky says, b'shem l'chazon ish, that this limit of giving half of your money to relatives is just is a general rule. If there's a specific need, there's a crisis in the family, and your relative needs more, certainly on a one-time basis or on a temporary basis, you can give them more. But it just means, in general, over time, you shouldn't give your money exclusively to your kroivim. It should be spread out more evenly. Now, besides these levels of kurva, in dealing with a situation where two aniyim come in front of you, and they both have equal levels of kurva, they're both aniyei yercha, they both have the same need, there we have another two rules. The first is that a kohen comes before a levi comes before a yisrael, that if everything else is equal, we look at their yichus, at their kedusha, and you give based on that. Now, in addition, if you have two aniyim that come in front of you, one is a man and one is a lady, so if their needs are the same, the halacha is a lady comes first. Now, although in general we find in Hilchos Kedima, generally men come first, when it comes to tzedakah, a lady has kedima because it's ein darkei for an isha to be machzor al psachim. It is more difficult for her to go around begging, and therefore she has kedima. You give to her first. Now, if the man has a greater need, you know, this is all when everything's the same. If the man has a greater need, he's hungry, she needs clothing, so he has a more basic need, there this rule does not apply. The Aruch HaShulchan and Chaim Kanievsky says it's actually a Mefurash Yerushalmi, They both write, you give to where it's needed, needed more. But if the need is the same, a lady comes before a man. The Chavetz Chaim learns from this, and he's a tremendous yisoid. He says, what is this halacha? The halacha is that a lady comes before a man. Now in Hilchas Kedima, we mentioned before, typically we don't say that. Typically we say a Kohen comes before a Levi before a Yisrael. A man that has chayiv and more mitzvahs should have Kedima. Nevertheless, because it is more difficult for a lady, it's more of an embarrassment for her to raise money, we say she comes first. Zot HaChavetz Chaim, the same is true with any aniyim. If you have two aniyim in front of you, one of them is a schlepper. And he doesn't know the malacha, he's new to the business, he doesn't know how to raise money, he's not a good fundraiser. The other one may have a bigger need, he may even be a relative, but he is a very tichtig fellow, he knows the ropes, he knows how to get around, and by hook or by crook, you know he's going to end up, he's going to raise the funds that he needs. Zot HaChavetz Chaim, you give kedima to the person who is less capable or it's more difficult for them to raise the funds. Because just like an isha has kedima because it's more of an abizoyin for her, it's harder for her to be machzor al psachim. So the Chavetz Chaim says it's true by any aniyim, you have to give it. So the tendency very often is you meet an ani, some of them have more chayin, you want to give them more. Now you should wait a minute. The more chayin they have, the more they're going to pull out of the next person. So that's a reason to give them less. Now obviously, if everyone uses this rule, so not sure what to do. But in a situation where they will be able, you have confidence, they'll be able to pull, it'll be easier for them to raise the funds elsewhere, you give kedima to the one that will have a more difficult time. Now the Chavetz Chaim says this rule even by Kroivim. Now the truth is it's really a bit tzarachiyah, because the kedima of an ish to an isha over an ish is only when the needs are the same. If the man has a greater need, then the lady does not have priority. So it's mashma. That even if this rule, that if it's harder for one and easier for someone else, that you give it to the person who has a hard time collecting, that's when everything's the same. If the person who has an easier time collecting has a greater need, he still has kedima. So if that's true, if the person with the greater need has kedima, even though it's easier for him, then kol shkein a karov, who we said before, a karov has kedima, is even better than tov tov kaidim, then kol shkein v'kol shkein, that should come before or have a higher priority over someone who will have a more difficult time collecting. So the Chavetz Chaim's raya is a bit tzarachian, but halacha l'maisa, that is what the Chavetz Chaim paskins. Now these rules of kedima that you give to a relative, so the poskim speak out very clearly, that is when you're giving out your own funds. Masha'enkein a gabay tztaka, here, Adrabe, a gabay tztaka, it's also gomer for him to go ahead and start giving priority to his friends, his family. That's also he's a gabay. He's in charge of mammon of the cloud, and he has to follow the other rules. But as far as kroivim, it's certainly also for him to give a kedima and for him to channel the money towards his family. Let's just go. We have a lot. Now, interestingly, the Gros Moshe points out, he says a chiddush the other way. He says these other kedimos that you give a kohen before a levi and yisrael, and these other kedimos, he says, that his medayik is only by a gabay tztaka. But your own money, he says, if it's your tztaka money, you have a tovas hanah. He said you're not bound to these rules. You can really give it out the way you want. And the Ircha still seem to have kedima, but at least between Kayan, Levi, Yisrael, these other kedimas, he says, it's a chiddush, but he says it's only for a gabay tzedakah. What? Yeah. His point is you have a tovas hanah, that person's trumas and maestras, part of its tovas hanah, there's machlokes tovas hanah, may even be mammon. A person has the benefit and has the right to channel the tzedakah where he chooses. And therefore, once he has that right, he's not limited or restricted to these rules. Now, the next sugya that we started last week, we started discussing collecting money or accepting tzedakah or donations from a goy or from a yid who is not from. As we pointed out, there are two gemaras that discuss accepting tzedakah from a goy. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that oichel davar acher, which Rashi explains means a person who accepts tzedakah from a goy b'farhesu in public, is pasul le'edus. The reason is either it's a Chil Hashem, or because the Rambam learns it's a bezoyin, being mavazi yourself, accepting money from a goy, it's a bezoyin to yourself, it's a bezoyin to Klal Yisrael, and therefore he's pasul eidus. Nevertheless, the Gemara qualifies this, that if a person has no option, he has no other way to get the funds, or if he's able to accept the tzedakah from a goy privately, betzina, there does not seem to be an issue. Most places learn from that Gemara that it should be mutr l'chadchila. So if you're going to publicly take money from a goy, that's for tzedakah, that will be aser. But if it's not b'far hesia, if it's not in public, and we explain from the achrayim, if you don't have 10 Jews that see it happening, there you're allowed to accept the money, and from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it seems like all is well. The problem is, we have a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Yud that says that if Ruhumra, the mother of the Shvar Malka, sent money to tzedakah, and the first Amayra sent it back, didn't want to accept it, didn't want to give it out. She tried again, sent it to Rava, and Rava gave it to tzedakah. So the Gemara says that Ravami was makbid. How could you accept money from a goy? But Yavish Katsira Tishaberna. The pasuk says that the geula will only come when the umas olam finish up. They no longer have the source of tzedakah left. So by accepting money from a goy for tzedakah, you're prolonging the galus. You're giving them schosim, and therefore you shouldn't be accepting it. So the Gemara ends up saying that enochanami. Everyone agrees to this rule that you cannot accept money from a goy. What Rava did is because he was afraid. This was the mother of the king. The mother of the king is not a safe person to start up with. So therefore, he accepted the money. But instead of giving it to Aniyei Yisrael, he gave it to Aniyei Akum. He gave it to Goyim. And giving out tzedakah to Goyim is less of a schus, and that is what he did. So this Gemara says very clearly that accepting money from a goy is going to cause the galus to be prolonged, and is also. And therefore you have to give it out to Aniyei Akum. You have to give it to Aniyim or Goyim. Now the truth is, even over here, Taisvim Bava Basra and the Ramah Paskins, that this is the case over here was she sent the money to the Gabbai, here, give this out to charity. So there, had it been a regular goy, he would have sent back the check. Because it was the mother of the king, he had to accept it. But instead he gave it to Aniyim who were not Jewish. So Taisvim says, what happens if she would have sent the check along with instructions? I'm sending this, I want you to give this out, Chanukah geld, for people who need. So there, Zok Taisvis, there you have a chiv to get. You would have to give it to Aniyei Yisrael. Because if you would go ahead, if it was given for one purpose and you use it for something else, that would be Gnevas Das. And even though Ifra Hermes was a goy, still, there's no hetzer to be going of Das Akum, and you would have to give it out to Aniyei Yisrael. It's only when she sent it Stam, she just sent money, this is for charity. Charity is a vague word, and as we learned 2 weeks ago, there's a chiyuv, Gabbai Tzedakah used to give out money to Goyim as well, Mishum Eva. So there, if she just didn't give specific instructions, you give it to Goyim. But if she said specifically, I want this to go to Jewish Aniyim, there it would be Gnevas Das to ignore that. You would have to listen to her. The Adramai says it's not just Gnevas Das. He says it's flat out Gneva. Because if the money was given for a specific purpose, for Aniyei Yisrael, and you're giving it to Aniyei Akum, it's Pasha Gezel. You're taking money Shaloi Kedin. And therefore, the Ramah Paskins, if there are specific instructions, you have to give it to Aniyei Yisrael. So when going back to the original problem, we have a theory between the two sugyas. One Gemara seems to say there's only a problem when it's done b'far hesia. If it's done b'tzino, or if you don't have any other choice, then there's nothing wrong with accepting from a goy. And yet, this Gemara Bava Basra says that accepting money from a goy prolongs the galus. If it's prolonging the galus, then it shouldn't make a difference whether it's b'far hesia, whether it's b'tzino. Shouldn't make a difference what the situation is. It should always be awesome. Now, the Achrayim give a number of different answers to miyash of this stira. And we'll see, there's a tremendous nafkamina lahalacha. Today, we, in many ways, accept tzedakah from goyim. There are, in the most common case is, people are on various government programs, whether it's Section 8 or food stamps. Yeshivas and moistas very often that get block grants or Pell grants or other financial help from the government. L'chayra, we should have this problem. You're accepting money from the goyim. It should be awesome. Oh, good. We got to there. So as far as this question, how do we deal with this stira? Why accepting from the mother of Shemarka was a problem, but accepting from going mitzina seems to be fine. So the Binyan Tzion has a very interesting terence. He says there's a basic difference between what happened. The mother of Shemarka sent the money unsolicited. It clearly wasn't solicited because you see, once they got it, they're busy sending it back, giving it to Aniyei Goyim. They didn't ask her for it. She on her own decided she wants to support Aniyei Yisrael. Zech the Binyan Tzion, when a goy recognizes the chashivos of tzedakah, and others speak out, when the goy specifically wants to send it to Klal Yisrael, that's a tremendous chos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin means, so I'm at a case, a person was poor, so he went around collecting, so he went to a goy and asked for money. So there, to ask from a goy, b'farhasya, that is aser, and that a person becomes pasul la'edus. Zog the Binyan Tzion, when a person's begging and he goes to a goy, the goy feels bad for them. So it's true, it's a chesed, but that's not such a big schus. That, as long as it's not b'farhasya, you're allowed to do. It's the case in the Ifra Hermes, where she on her own, she because she recognized the chashivas and the godless and the inyan of giving tzedakah, she initiated it. That is a tremendous schus. That is something which that type of schus will prolong the galus, and that you're not allowed to accept. But if you're begging, you're asking, and the goy feels bad for you and gives you, there you do not have the problem of prolonging the galus. There you just have an issue of chilul Hashem when it's done the farhesia, and that's why. And that's the chilul between these two sugyas. Now, based on that, there are actually two interesting halachas. There's the Kenyan Torah deals with a case where there was a ger. The ger was struggling financially, so his father felt bad for him and wanted to help him out. Problem is, the ger's father is a goy. And according to the Gemara in Bava Basra, you're not allowed to accept tzedakah from a goy. So zok the Kenyan Torah, it's not a problem. Because the whole iser of Shor Malko was where she on her own recognized the godless of tzedakah, she sent the money. Mash in Cain, where it's a father that just Nebuch feels bad for the son, where it doesn't come from the recognition of the godless of tzedakah, it comes from simply the emotional attachment. So there it's certainly a chesed, but this level of tzedakah b'yavish katzira tishaverna doesn't apply, and therefore he says you're allowed to accept it. Similarly, there's a case where there was a tragedy, and the Vat HaTzedakah or whatever it was advertised the tragedy. They did a very good job. It was a very moving advertisement. And among the letters, or among the checks that came in, were some checks from Goyim. So they are also, based on this being seen, they're matarit, because since the Goy, it's not their own initiative, they were, even though they weren't approached directly, but at least they were, they saw this advertisement, they were moved by the advertisement, and they felt bad, so there, based on that, there are matirim. Now, based on this, as Shevet Alevi says, any government program has a similar heter. Since it was created by politicians, whatever the politicians' motivations are, it's probably less of a chashivas for the godless of tzedakah and more a chashivas of the godless of being reelected. So, because there are ulterior motives, you do not have it doesn't have this level of tzedakah of yavish ketira tishaberna, and that's why the poskim are mekel. It's one of the reasons why they're mekel when you're dealing with government programs. Now, another svara that said is that in the Gemara in Bava Basra, you're talking about the mother of the king. So when the Malchus gives tzedakah, so there that can prolong the galus. Because if the Malchus of a goy has chusim, then the longer that you have the Malchus, the stronger the Malchus is, that will hold back the geula. In contrast, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about a private goy. A private goy that does mitzvahs, doesn't do mitzvahs, is not going to affect Klal Yisrael, will not affect the geula. And that's why in Sanhedrin, when you're dealing with a private goy, as long as it's not b'farhesio, it's mutter. It's only when you're dealing with a melech, with a malchus, there you have to be more machmir, and there the Gemara Bava Basra says, even if it's done quietly, it would still be aser. Now the Erech Shai has a very interesting pshat. He says it like this. He says, tzedakah is definitely an inyan, it's definitely a big mitzvah. However, Zakh the Erech Shai, you can't compare the tzedakah that a goy gives to the tzedakah that a yid gives. A yid that's doing it, befrat a gabay tzedakah, is acting is kavanosel is l'shem shemayim. A goy, adrav chesed u'mchatos, we don't assume their motives are so pure. Zakh the Erech Shai, a beautiful chiluk. The Gemara in Sanhedrin was talking about a case where a person went to a goy directly. The goy is giving tzedakah. The goy gives tzedakah, okay, it's a mitzvah, it's a schus, but you don't have to worry about it holding back the geula, and as long as it's not being done before hesed, it's okay. Zog the Erech Shai, the Gemara of Vavasra, so if Ifra Hormuz didn't give out the tzedakah herself, she sent it to a gabbai, to Ravami or Rava. Sending it to a Yiddish gabbai tzedakah, and now she's going to partner with the tzedakah that the gabbai is doing, that tzedakah we have to, that schus, when there is to become a shutif with a yid's ma'aseh tzedakah, that we have to, that would prolong the galus, that's a tremendous schus, and that we have to prevent. But if they're doing it directly, there the Erech Shai says that would be fine. Now another cheshbon they use when you're dealing with government programs, the Shevet HaLevi says, is actually there are two cheshbonos. First of all, he says that tax, when the politicians give out government programs, it's a mixture of Jewish money and Goyish money. So for these halachas, we have the right to say that we are just saving a small fraction of the Yiddish geld that's paid to taxes. And therefore, he says, there's nothing wrong with taking what you can, and you can assume it's coming from Jewish money. Now, I'd add, there's really, I think, another very big chiluk. And that is, it's true tzedakah is a tremendous chus. But what is the schus of tzedakah? Schus of tzedakah is you have your hard-earned money, you work your whole day, your job, and a person takes money out of his pocket to give it to tzedakah, that's a tremendous schus. And such a schus, that if a goy has such a schus, that can prolong the galus. When you're dealing with a government program, what are they doing there? There, the tzedakah is they're taking money out of your one person's pocket to give it to a second person. That's not the din of tzedakah. Tzedakah is when you're giving away your money. For a politician to go ahead and give away someone else's money, that's not such a grois kunz. And therefore, the mistama, the whole Indian doesn't start. In the case of Bava Basra, that was a king. Kings taxed the people, and the money was his. It wasn't public money. He used the money, he built himself a castle, he went to war, he did whatever kings do with their money. So if now they want to go ahead and they want to give tzedakah, giving your money for tzedakah, that's a tremendous chos, and that's also to accept. Ma'ase ein kein, if we're going to have politicians that are just going to pass a rule, we're going to take more money from the people and just do a little wealth redistribution. That's not the inyan of tzedakah, and that's why today I don't think this problem would begin with. Now this is all as far as taking tzedakah. What about if a guy wants to make a donation to a shul? Or to yeshiva. So if we hear the Pesachim speak out, the halacha is a goy is allowed to bring a korban. Now this itself, what comes out is that for a goy to bring a korban, okay, yeah, we don't have to worry about the goy, anything about the, well, actually, if it's korban, it means the Beis Hamikdash is kayim. But you see al kopanim that to bring a korban is less of a schus than giving tzedakah. And that's why you can accept a carbon from a goy. You're allowed to accept money for a base knesses, but to accept stock from a goy, that is going to be usur. So the Igros Moshe deals with was asked whether you can have a parlor meeting. His case was actually whether you're allowed to have a parlor meeting, whether a goy can host a parlor meeting. So first he starts off by saying there's a problem with having a party in a goy's house. That's when the goy is hosting it. What about if an organization wants to honor a guy? So Zakeh Igros Moshe, we just said, Gemara Bava Basra, that it's usur to take money from a guy. And that Igros Moshe says, that isur doesn't apply over here. Because when you're honoring someone at a dinner, especially if he's a guy, what's happening over here is money's not being given l'shem shemayim for tzedakah. You're honoring him, people are giving money because they have a business relationship with him, and therefore he says the isur doesn't really apply. On that, he adds also that the fact, especially if Jews are giving the cover of the goy, certainly you don't have the Gemara in Bava Basra. The problem is only when the goy is giving the tzedakah, not just when you're using him to give the tzedakah. But the Igros Moshe writes, Afal Pikein, even though it's technically mutter, he says it's mechur hadavar, that the money that a tzedakah should have to be coming on to a goyim to raise money. And he says you should not do it. He says not usher, but he says you shouldn't do it. His one exception is that in a case where the goy did a toiva for you, and you have to push, honor him as a karas hatoiv, that he says is mutter, because that's not a mechuar davar. He did you a toiva. It's a politician. He did something for you. So akaras atoiv. That's fine. It's when you're using him, you need the goy to raise funds. That's usher. Now today people seem to have taken this heter and run with it. If a goy ever did anything good, they use that akaras atoiv as an excuse to raise money. You look at the truth of the Gros Moshe. He's not matter there. He's matter making honoring him just to be makar toiv to him. But simply because he did a taiva, now to use it to raise money, if it's clear that the tachlis is not as a karas taiva, the tachlis is to raise money, there he still says in mechur hadavar.
I mean, specifically, there's something like the korban, like the item for sure.
Reply. Now, there is, actually, the true Ashai is worried about the other point. What about if collecting, for a goy to give a korban is not a problem. What about the other issue? That when it's befar hester, there's a chilul Hashem. So Zekter Tzur HaShai, it's not a problem. Why? Because what's the Chil HaShem when you take tzedakah from a goy before Hasid? The Chil HaShem is that Jews don't take care of each other. And they have to come on to a goy in order to give tzedakah. Zekter Tzur HaShai, that applies for Aniyim. It's Taka B'Zoyin. If there are Aniyah Yisrael that we don't take care of, it's Taka B'Zoyin, it's Taka Chil HaShem. Zekter Tzur HaShai, when it comes to fundraising for a shul, anyone who's built a shul or a moysid knows, you can spend an infinite amount of money making a shul nicer. You make it bigger, you make it fancier. There's no such, so therefore the bezoyin that how come Jews aren't taking care of it, it doesn't apply. Because when you're raising money, you're just going to make it nicer and nicer and nicer. Therefore the Tzur HaShai says, this din of befar hesya doesn't apply. He says it's not a good idea to do it. Because if you're going to accept the money from the goy for your shul, so one day down the road he's gonna call you up when he's building his beis avodah zarah, he's gonna cash in the chips, he's gonna ask for your donation in return. But technically, al pidin, he says this, the chilul Hashem of collecting tzedakah does not apply when you're dealing with a shul.
What's the difference between buying goy to have a schus and giving tzedakah and allowing it to have a korban?
So that's so Taz points out that giving tzedakah is a bigger schus than a karban. And that's why.
Why don't we want, I mean, it's bad if a
goy
has schus in the world.
So the Gemara says that Piyavish Ketzir Tishaverna, that the schus of tzedakah is gives them such a, it gives their malchus a kiyum, which prevents the gula from coming. And that's why if he wants to bring a karban, that's fine. There's schusim, normal schusim, we don't go ahead and stop goyim from doing mitzvahs. But the mitzvah of tzedakah, specifically tzedakah to Aniyei Yisrael, there prolongs the galus, and there you can't accept it. Now, what about, this is all a goy, what about a mummer, someone who is not from? So we've been discussing, there are really two separate issues. When you're giving money to a shul, so there we said, giving money to a shul is like a karban, and you're allowed to accept a karban from a goy. That's by a goy. The halacha is a mummer l'avodah zarah or machal shabbos v'farhesia is not allowed to bring a karban. And therefore, poskim write that if you have a mummer l'achis, it's a first Ramah and a Mishnah Berurah, you cannot accept money from a mummer l'achis for a shul. Now there is a machlokes achrayin in what the Ramah is talking about. The Ramah's case is talking about neiros. Some want to say the Ramah means a ner is like a car, and a shul is like a karban. Maybe for the shul itself, which is just a piece of karka that doesn't have a din of a karban. But Rav Paiskim are machmer on this nakuda and say that to accept money from a mummer, a mechal shabbos farhesia, that would be aser. If he's not a mummer lahachis, he's just a mummer l'tiyavin. And today, most people are a mummer l'tiyavin, or if not a mummer l'tiyavin, they're a tinik shenishba, which has a similar din. There, it's certainly mutter. And there, adarab, the place can say that even someone who's a baal aveira, you want them to do mitzvahs. Maybe perhaps in the schos of the mitzvah of tzedakah, they will be chozer b'tshuva. So certainly, you're allowed to accept the money. But if he's a mummer l'haches, he's a mechal shabbos v'farhesia in a way where he does not have the excuse of a tinik shenishba, there's an isser of accepting a karban, of accepting money for a shul.
Why would you want a mumalahas to get a schus anyway?
Okay, wait. There are two separate issues. Right now we're talking about for a shul. A shul has the issue of a karban, not biyavish katsira. That we'll get to in a minute. So as far as a shul, as far as bringing a karban, the halacha is a goy is allowed to bring a karban. A mumer lavay dezara does not have the right to bring a karban. So therefore, accepting money for a shul, which is like a karban, if a person is a mumer lahachas, you cannot accept it. Now, if you're accepting tzedakah for aniyim, that is a separate issue. There, aniyim, according to the Shos Yaakov, is machmer. The Shos Yaakov is a kavah choymer. Ma'adach a goy, who you could bring a karban. We don't let him give tzedakah. So kol shkein a mumer who can't even bring a karban, certainly we shouldn't accept tzedakah from him. That's the Shos Yaakov's kavah choymer. Most achroinim argue on this. And they say the kavah choymer is not a good kavah choymer. Because a karban you can't bring, that's a din, of it's a drasha, that someone who's a mumer can't bring a karban. When it comes to tzedakah, why can't a guy give tzedakah? A guy can't give tzedakah because of biyavish katira. It extends the galus when they have sfosim. A mumer, even though he may be a mumer, he's still a yid. There's no rule that if a mumer does sfosim, that prevents the gula from coming chas v'shalom. The more sfosim, the more mitzvahs a mumer does, the better. And therefore, according to Rav Paiskim, if you're dealing with Mois Tzedakah, there from a mumer it would be mutter. The Meiri in Chaim Kanievsky quotes is machmer when he's a mumer lahachis, the mumer lavoy dezar lahachis, which is fairly uncommon. But in most cases, especially a mumer l'teyavin, but even when you're dealing with tzedakah, there's nothing wrong with taking tzedakah from such a person. Now these are the halachos as far as taking tzedakah from goyim and from a mumer. I'd like to spend a few minutes going through some of the halachos of how to give tzedakah. The Rambam writes, and it's very famous, that there are eight levels of giving tzedakah. The highest level that comes first is really the hechazakta, and that is if you know someone has a tzedakah, someone has a need, giving them money to prevent them from becoming aniyim, giving them a loan, becoming a partners with them, and simply stopping, you know, an ounce of prevention, stopping them from losing their business, that's certainly the highest level of tzedakah. The next level of tzedakah is when a person gives it anonymously. And the Rambam says the best level is when a person gives it in a way where he doesn't know who he's giving to, and the recipient doesn't know where it's coming from. Now, how do you do that? So in the Beis Hamikdash, they had a Lishkas Chashoim, where they had a room where people would go in, and they'd go into the room, and they'd leave money there. Aniyim would come, they'd come into the room, and they would take the money. And this way, the person giving the money was not anonymous. People just knew that he walked into the room. They didn't know whether he left money or he took money. He didn't know who it was going to, and the aniyim also didn't have the busha. No one, they didn't know who they were accepting the money from, and this is the highest level of tzedakah. Now, today we don't have a lishkas chasholim, but the poskim speak out. What's close to that is when you give to a gabbai tzedakah. When you give it to a gabbai tzedakah, you don't know who's actually getting the money. You give to your tamche shabbos to, and you don't know who the recipients are, and the recipients don't know who they're getting from. So this is a close second. It's not the same, because the gabbai knows who you are. There's a certain level of cover that you get by giving to the gabbai, but it's pretty close, and this is the highest level of tzedakah. Now, although it's very clear that giving tzedakah anonymously, giving it away where you don't know where it's going and they don't know where it's coming from, is a maila, you do find some qualifications to this. The Gemara in Ksubis on Samaches that we went through a few weeks ago had a number of stories where people used to give out tzedakah, and different times they sent their child, they sent their wife to give the tzedakah for them. Now, l'chayro, they shouldn't have done that. If there's a ma'ilah of giving tzedakah, you know, anonymously, without anyone knowing about it, then how come you're sending your wife or your children? Now someone knows about the tzedakah that you're giving. So the answer, which the Iri points out over there, it's ishtar kegufay. But the answer of Mestama is based on Chavetz Chaim in his Hagdama to Abbas Chesed, where he writes that there's a tremendous inyan of giving tzedakah in your house, not just taking care of it in the office, and that is so that your family sees that you're giving tzedakah. Your chiyuv of chinuch, it's very nice that you want to give it anonymously, you don't want anyone to know about it, but if it's such a good secret and your children never see you giving tzedakah, then they're missing out that element of the chinuch. And therefore, for your family, it's adrab, it's mustam and ini, that your children should know that you're oisik b'tzedakah. They should see that what you're doing and that how you're moisin nefesh for it. And adrab, that's a maila, not a chisar. Now, you also find, that it's chuvas arajba, that it was very common that when you person made a donation, there's a dedication. You have on a paroiches, on a shul, you have things that either lezeich or nishma somebody, but very often it also has the name of the donor. And the Rajba was asked, is this appropriate or not? Zog the Rajba. He said, yes. He said, we find in Navi, in Tanakh, that Adrabah, the Navi lists people who gave tzedakah, who helped pay for the walls of Yerushalayim, because there's an inyan of being makir toiv to people who do mitzvahs, and adrabah, it encourages other people to do mitzvahs. Now, what that means is there's a very fine line. On one hand, we find that if someone gives tzedakah lehispoyer, like Miri says, if you're giving tzedakah in order to buy a good name for yourself, you're giving tzedakah in order to become for the kavod, that is a problem. And that, the Meiri says, is not a midas yisrael. He has terrible lashonos. But on the other hand, if you're giving the tzedakah, l'shem tzedakah, but you realize that if you would publicize it, if people know about the tzedakah, that will encourage other people, it'll motivate other people to give more, then adarabah. Then the right thing to do is allow them to mention your name, allow it to be, let people know about it, and that way you'll have a schus, you'll be encouraging other people to give tzedakah as well. So this is the highest level, where a person gives tzedakah, the aniyim don't know where it's coming from, and he doesn't know where it's going. If that's not possible, the next level is to give the tzedakah where you know where it's going, but the ani doesn't know who's giving it. And you know, the case over here is if there's no gabbai that you trust. A gabbai tzedakah is a very difficult position, and the Gemara says you can only give it to a gabbai if he is trustworthy, if he's an erlich yid. If you don't trust the gabbai, you have to give it directly. So the best way to do it is you find your aniyim, and you find that, you know, you slip some envelopes into his mailbox every once in a while. You know where it's going, but he doesn't know where it's coming from. The next level, if that's not possible, is to give tzedakah in a way where the aniyim know where it's coming from, but you don't know where it's going. Now this is a bit tricky. How do you do that? So what this is really referring to is a Gemara where Amiram used to just put the tzedakah behind them and not look back. And that whoever needed the money, the aniyim would come and they would take it. So this way, he didn't know where it was going. He didn't turn around. He didn't see who took it. But the aniyim knew where it was coming from. So that's why it's this third level of tzedakah. Now the Aruch HaShulchan says, do not try this today. Because if you try just putting money behind you without looking back, Zokta Yaruch HaShulchan, one thing's for sure. You may not know who's going to get it, but it's not going to be aniyim. Because it's going to be ganovim or ramam, or they're going to get it. The aniyim will not see a dime. And therefore, he says it's not kedai to go down this route. I think it's the highest level. Because you don't know who the recipients are, and the recipients don't know who it's coming from. So that Tamechei Shabbos is the highest level. Because neither party knows who the other party is. Now they may know, you know, in theory, this person's a gaviri, Mustama gives money to Tamechei Shabbos, but any given recipient doesn't have that bazillion, I took money from him. Because it's just going into a big pot, and it's not nisiachis directly to this person. Now after that, if you can't be anonymous, that's not practical in the situation, the next level is when you give it to him directly, but you give it to him before he asks. One of the milos of tzedakah is don't make him beg. Now, most cases, times when you give tzedakah, it's a little bit difficult. But if you know, if you have a chaver, you have a neighbor, you know he's struggling, and you know he's embarrassed to ask. So if you beat him to it, you go over to him, give him an envelope, and say, here, listen, borrow the money for a certain amount of time. That is a tremendous milo. You're saving him the bazillion of asking. Now, and the truth is, if you think about it, this maila is very easy to get a few times a day. Where a person comes to shul, and very often people are walking up and down the aisles asking for money. If you go ahead, and instead of waiting for him to come to you, you just take three steps over and hand it to him before he gets to you, that has this maila of tzedakah. And if you think about it, mitzad the onus point of view, it makes a tremendous difference. Imagine the difference. A person walks into shul, and instead of having to go people, you know, shake the coins and, you know, jiggle them until get his attention, each person, as he gets near them, turns around and go, you know, and approaches them to give them the money. It has a tremendous mile. It is much less of a bazillion and a booster for them, and it's just a very easy way to be mekayim this mile of tzedakah. For a gabbai? I'm not sure. And lastly, then, if a person gives, giving besimcha is also one of the madregas of tzedakah, and however he's doing the tzedakah, if he does it ba'atzvos, that also takes away from the mitzvah. Now, over here, there are two separate halachas. There's one halacha that if you give it, and it just hurts you to give it. So that is not a milah of tzedakah. You're lacking. You have to work on it. You have to work on your midas. You'll get there. That's just a milah. If you give it to the ani, but when you give it to him, you give it to him with a snarl, or you make him feel bad, that's not just a question of a milah of tzedakah. There, the lashon is a hifsid es chusay. You're giving him the money and making him feel bad about it, giving it to him and in a way that's mevaza him. There, that's not just a milah. That's an iser. Now, what hipsed eschusa means is a bit of machlokes. What many achrayim say, it doesn't mean you lost the schus. It means you're going to get the mitzvah of tzedakah, but then you're going to get an einish. But even when you're covering up, still there's an inning to work on yourself that it should be done b'simcha. Just stand off. I saw a very, very, very nice track from Chatzko Roth. He asked a few questions on Hanukkah. He said, first of all, we know that tumah hutra b'tzibur. With carbonates, if everyone's tame, you can bring a carbon. So if that's the case, if all of the shemen was tame, why do you need the nes chanukah? Just like be madlik with shemen tame. Now, besides being a kash on the nes, he says it's also a kash on the yavanim. Yavanim went ahead and they were matame all the oil. So he says, why are they matame the oil? They didn't know tumah b'tzibur. They should have broken all the oil. They should have destroyed it all. They would have destroyed it, or they couldn't. Then Chayasar would have been stuck. Instead, they went ahead and time it. And what's going on? What's with this tuma? He also wants to know. We say Uminoiser Kankanim Nasa Nes LaShoshanim. So Kankanim is Loshen Rabim. What are these two Kankanim? So he says beautifully. I'll peel the Zohar. When Yaakov was fighting with Zara with Sarai Shalesov, Vayovik Ish Imai. So when the Sarai Shalesov saw he wouldn't be able to overcome Yaakov. So he went ahead, he touched his thigh, and he was mazakim. Zok the Zohar, famous Zohar, that when he saw that he could, Yaakov is a Koyach HaTorah, and when he saw that he couldn't overcome him, he was pegeya in the Yerech, in the Machzikei HaTorah. So, Chatzko Roth explained, there are two ways the Yetzirah fights the Machzikei HaTorah. Sometimes he fights it with a simple enkemach ein Torah. There's no money around. There's no the yeshivas don't get supported, and that's one way he's pegeya. The other way is to make sure the money coming in is treif for gelt. That's the second mahalach of fighting. So he says that's the pshat over here. The yevonim, they didn't just they could have destroyed all the oil. That would have happened. So then you're right, they wouldn't have been able to light. But it's not what they wanted to do. What they wanted to do is, they wanted to be pegeim, they wanted bedafka klai Yisrael to light with shemen tama. They wanted to be pegeim that the gelt coming in, supporting the machziki atayra, would be trade for gelt. And that's what they wanted to be pegeim. And therefore he says, the reason why klai Yisrael didn't light is although tumah b'tzibur, although if coincidentally there's a tumah, then you're allowed to light. Over here, the whole melchama and the whole tachlis of Yavon was to force them to use shemen tameh. Their whole tachlis was to pegeah and to use treifa gelt. Therefore, he says it was doima to a shas hashmad, where it's yiharag val yavar, and you don't have the heter of tumah b'tzibur. And therefore, he says nasa minoiser kankanim. We're talking about two kankanim. We're talking about the pach and ketanim of Yaakov Avinu. And the Pach Shemen of the Nes Chanukah. So it comes out according to this, the whole tachlis of the Nes Chanukah was really the Nakuda we discussed today. It's the point that to accept money from Goyim, to accept money from a Mummer, where although you're using it L'Shem Shemayim, you're using it to build Torah for yeshivas, for shuls, for tzedakah, But if you're using money which has a pagam in it, that it takes away from the entire kedusha, and that was the whole Nes Chanukah. Now, certainly, the same way you find that there's a pagam as far as accepting from goyim, it's certainly also true. Even Yiddish gelt, unfortunately, could at times be treifa gelt, and that's something which, if a person is giving tzedakah or doing mitzvahs with which money which came shleyal pidin, you have the same problem, the same chesaron of the Nes Chanukah. And therefore, again, it's the schus of our chabura learning. Certain people who learn on Chanukah are certainly Torah Lishma, taking away from the parties and from all everything else that people do. And it should be a schus for all of Klal Yisrael.